This reading's from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are the body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Amen.
People rarely appreciate their ignorance because they lock themselves inside an echo chamber of like-minded friends and self-confirming news feeds where their beliefs are constantly reinforced and rarely challenged. So writes a modern historian. This quotation came to mind last Sunday when Chris Morley was preaching, and he, using gentler language, warned us about the danger of being blinkered. He did this in the context of the Bible story of the Canaanite woman, who said that even the dogs can pick up the crumbs from under the table. Chris pointed out that the Pharisees in the story were bound and blinkered by their rules and regulations, whereas the Canaanite woman threw caution to the wind and threw herself on the mercy of Jesus, knowing that this was a reckless approach. Chris also suggested that if we were bolder and braver in our understanding of Scripture, we might see more of the work of God in our lives. But this involves making an effort on our part. The journalist Ed West says, forming an opinion is time-consuming, and it makes more sense to subcontract it out. This means we can't simply rely on the commentaries of our favourite authors to shape our thinking. And this brings us to our reading from Romans. As James said at the beginning, it's a fantastic passage, and Paul manages to cram so much into single verses that I'm only really going to look at the first two verses. And in those two verses, Paul makes several important points. Just to give it a bit of context, Paul has taken 11 chapters to explain to the Christians of Rome the reality of the freedom that they have in Christ. He addresses the great doctrines of salvation, sanctification, justification, and election. But now he moves on to the way that they should live in the light of those doctrines. And let's be honest, most of us leave the great doctrines to the experts, and we prefer to know how to live in the light of those doctrines. Paul teaches several transforming realities. First of all, he tells his readers that they are to be living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, sacrifice was an essential way to gain access, worship, and interact with God. It was a way for sinful human beings to demonstrate their faith in him. And just as an aside, I'm often struck by how readily people responded to Paul. These people must have been familiar with the law and lived according to the law for thousands of years, and they must have developed a collective memory of how things should be. But now they've been told that instead of dead animals, they are to present themselves as completely devoted to God in the way that they live their lives. And since Christianity isn't one of the law religions, it doesn't furnish us with a list of rules. It offers instead the impossible ideal of valuing other people as absolutely as you might value yourself. And that doesn't translate straightforwardly into a code of conduct. We are called to work out how to do this in a way that honours Christ. Paul goes on to exhort the Roman Christians not to conform to the pattern of the world. There are many ways in which the world will try to mould us to its way of thinking and behaving. For Paul, the big issues were sexual promiscuity and the denial of God. And if you remember, a month or so ago, Miranda DiPrano identified financial status and quest for power as two idols of our time. But there are many other ways in which the world pulls us. For example, our understanding of the whole gender debate, or what should be our attitude to migrants. Perhaps our understanding of the widening gap between the rich and the poor, and what it is that we should be doing. These are all things that as Christians and as churches, we should be grappling with. Christians are called to be counter-cultural, not in all respects, as though every single aspect of human society and culture were automatically and completely bad, but at least in being prepared to think through each aspect of life. And we must be ready to challenge those parts where society will try to shape us. Just as an example of how society changes and how we respond to that, at our home group, the question was asked how we react to swearing. This is not a particularly controversial topic, but it illustrates how fluid language is. In the past, bad language was really not tolerated. But nowadays, words that were once off limits now form part of everyday speech, especially on television. As a group, we agreed that it was not appropriate for swearing to be part of the Christian's vocabulary, but accepted that it was now tolerated in society. So we are to be living sacrifices who don't conform to the world. But how do we manage this? Paul says it is by the renewing of our minds that we are able to live a godly life. To renew our minds is not something we can achieve by ourselves. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible tells me, and in fact it's Paul writing to the Corinthians, when it says that we have the mind of Christ and that we can take every thought captive to Jesus. And as we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, we would be better equipped to be living sacrifices who stand apart from the negative elements of the world. The letter to the Romans is an extended explanation of the gospel and has an evangelistic undertone. God wants for all people to come to know him through Jesus. Now, I know many of us find the prospect of evangelism daunting. We wonder whether we'll be able to answer the difficult questions. Will we be mocked? But I want to end with a quotation that I hope will give you confidence simply to say why you are a Christian. It comes from Francis Bufford, and he says, I am a Christian because it was the religion of my childhood. It's the matrix of my culture. Piece by piece, it answers my need and corresponds to reality for me. I also find that the structure of meaning it builds, the story it tells, explains that reality more justly, more profoundly, more scrupulously, and more plausibly than any of the alternatives. I'm sure that would be true of most of us, and it should give us confidence to speak of our faith and live it out in our lives. Amen.